all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Oh, Michelle, here comes that question again. You know, couples are everywhere asking themselves, are they having too much sex? Not enough? Is there an equation out there? Is it based upon your age? What's supposed to be going on? Is there a right amount? And it just, you know, and you and I have talked about this endlessly, right?
Is it sex?
Does that mean you're not getting enough?
Okay, now, you see, here comes our expert, and that is our pal who is always here. This is Rob Weiss, the founding director of the Sexual Recovery Institute in Los Angeles and senior vice president of clinical development for Elements Behavioral Health, who is the author also of Sex Addiction 101, a basic guide to healing from sex, porn, and love addiction. All right, Robert, throwing it up to you. Those couples are all listening right now. Do they,
well, I don't
are
think
they
any
having
of
too much sex? What? What's going on here with this whole issue of how much?
Okay, so here's the most important thing about this question is, for any couple, is are they talking about it? I can't, you know, tell you how many individual clients I've seen over the years who say, you know, I'm just not having that much sex, or I'm having, or my partner's asking me for too much sex, and they're telling me as a therapist, or they're telling their best friend, but they're not telling their partner. And, or the person they're with isn't listening. And so one of the issues, just even before we get into how much is too much or how much is not enough, is, you know, are you communicating with your partner about what you need and what you want? I would also want to add, just as a quick one,
Oh.
I just wanted to
add
you know, it is not, you know, there is no norm for how much sex a couple should be having. I've very often met couples who are having, especially in the early age stages, you know, when you're in your romance and the bloom of your relationship, they're having sex all the time. And then 4 years later, they've got a two-year-old, and they're both working two jobs, and they barely see each other, and they're not having any sex. And they say, boy, this must be a problem. And, you know, that's not a problem. That's a time-of-life issue. So there are times in life when we're going to be more sexual. There are times we're going to be less sexual. There are times when one partner might want more and one partner might want less. And that's when the communication needs to come into play. So I think, you know, when we judge ourselves by our neighbor, we never end up in a very happy place, whether it's the size of their house or how often they're getting laid. I think it's kind of similar for relationships. If I'm happy with the sexuality of my relationship, or that's what matters, not what other people are doing.
You know, Rob, I'm so surprised that so many women on Empower talk about the fact that they are not getting enough sex from their husband, their partner. And I think we have this, you know, misconception that men are the ones who are complaining that women aren't, you know, women aren't engaging. But the reality is, what we see on the site is that it's the complete opposite. Why do you think that is?
Well, I can't speak to research-based reasons why that is, but I think there's a lot of reasons why that is. I mean, number one, there is a difference between men and women. And so, you know, you men are traditionally the way we operate, not traditionally, it's the way we work. We're turned on by novelty and visual objects. So we like body parts, we like to see the new sexy this and that. The whole reason for the existence of places like Victoria's Secret is in part for women to feel good about their bodies, but in a bigger part, believe me, it's so they can bring some novelty in the bedroom that will make their guy go, ooh! And that guy's like that. You know, oh, I've never seen you in that before. Or, oh, we've never done it in this place before. So men like novelty. And women tend to be more relationally oriented around sex. They tend to feel, to enjoy sex more when they're connected to the person. And that doesn't tend, in case you guys didn't know this, tend to mean quite as much to men. We're different in that way. So a woman might want to have sex because she feels loving and close to her partner, and she just wants to have more of that connection. He's going to have sex because she looks really hot that night, or because, you know, it was how she looked when she was leaning over. It just, all of a sudden, he got a rush of arousal, or, you know, we're different in that way. And so men, unfortunately, today have a lot of outlets, men and women, but men in particular have a lot of outlets for objectified sexual experiences that don't involve a spouse, like looking at porn, like a lot of online experiences, and all of that. And one of the challenges about that is when you're looking at brand new bodies day after day and brand new sexual experiences, even if it's just images online with people you'll never speak to and know, you still have to go home to that spouse, and they still are the age they are, they have the body they have, you've been with them. In other words, they're not novelty or new.
Right.
And so it appears that men in general are being a little bit less sexually interested in spouses because they're having other outlets that lead them to not finding their spouses as exciting as they might have 15, 20 years ago.
One of the things I find really interesting are the Cialis and commercials and all of that. When you're looking at people who've obviously most probably been married for a little while, and they still look fairly attractive, etc. And you know, it kind of speaks to what arouses them. It's fascinating. The guys will just sort of see the woman doing some cute little habit that has always kind of gotten them going and back and forth, and that somewhat speaks to a very different aspect of what you're talking about. It's not even so much novelty, it's almost a sexy familiarity.
Which would be the kind of sex I think we would want in our intimate relationships.
Right.
I think that's what women look for more frequently, is that familiar, loving, nurturing kind of connecting. I can imagine a woman seeing that ad and saying, honey, why don't you go get some Viagra? Because I don't necessarily think that's how men, you know, immediately move towards sexuality, but we can. But I think we should talk just for a minute about sexual inequity, like when there's a sexual, I want more, you want less.
Yes.
There are a lot of ways that couples can handle that. And
tell
I just
us.
Wanted to throw out some concrete ideas for that.
Great.
You know, I have worked with men who, is that useful? Is that something good idea?
Yes.
Love it.
Well, you know, one of the things couples are always really surprised when I mention this to them is, you know, if one of you feels like being sexual and the other really doesn't for whatever reasons, well, what if you held your partner while they masturbated? Or what if you held them while they had a sexual experience and you didn't necessarily have to be in the sexual experience, but it would be incredibly intimate to be present for there.
Right.
And so can a couple be sexual together when one or the other doesn't really feel like having sex? Of course. So I think part of the issue is when couples think about being sexual, they move right to whatever it is they usually do sexually. And it may be that you can give your partner permission to be sexual with you being present and be supportive and loving with them, but not necessarily be actively participating. And that's a very intimate experience for spouses who have different levels of arousal at a particular time in life.
And I think men and women both both like that. But I think that goes back to what you talked about earlier, Rob, which is the communication piece of it.
That's right.
You know, if you can't communicate that and you feel ashamed or guilty about having, you know, which I think happens a lot with, particularly with women, you shouldn't. You should be able to have those conversations and be in the bedroom. The bedroom's the most intimate place for the two of you to really connect on a much deeper level. And I just don't think there's a lot of that going on today. And I think people have to learn. Those are two things that people don't talk about, right? Sex and money. And I think we just have to learn how to be more comfortable having the conversation.
Well,
oh, there was
that,
a great. Go ahead.
I was just going to
say.
Actually,
yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pam.
Well, you know, there was a fantastic movie about this with Meryl Streep. I don't know if you saw it. You know, she portrayed a classic woman who was a little bit older, and they went to a marriage retreat, and it was all about the fact they couldn't talk to one another. What I want to say, you know, Rob, is I want to give a major shout out to what you said. Of all the things you said, that communication is the biggest thing right here. And I want to thank you, Rob, for being on our show, Her Radio, as we talked about, well, sex, is there a right amount? Your book is Sex Addiction 101, and you are the Senior Vice President of Clinical Development for Elements Behavioral Health. Thanks so much. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.